Julian here, or you might know me from Haunting Hill House. I love horror. I definitely have so much fun doing horror movies and TV shows, just anything horror. So, I recently just got to go to the arcade with my friend from Haunting, Olive/Abigail, and she's definitely still real. Do you not believe me? Because nobody believes me. I hope your podcast goes really great, and bye.
They've conquered the big screen. Now, get ready for the spin-off sure to send chills down your spine. It's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Destin in Don't Go Out There, the series.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There podcast. Just want to thank all our fans and listeners. Really appreciate the support. You guys are awesome. Before we get into tonight's review, just want to give a quick shout out to our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Everything about our podcast is on the website. All of our episodes and interviews, if you want to check those out. We've done some incredible interviews in the past. Go check them out there in a specific tab by themselves so you don't have to scroll through hundreds of episodes on Apple or Spotify, etc. We also have our store if you want to grab a shirt, a mouse pad, a hat, all that good stuff. We'd love to see your pictures, you know, rep your favorite podcast. And Chan's Etsy page is also attached if you want to grab a Tumblr. All of our social media links are on there as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Like us, subscribe us, follow us, all that good stuff. And the last thing I want to shout out on our website is our Patreon. We call it Blood Donors. We have the traditional monthly reoccurring kind. If you want to support us, help us pay the bills, as we say. Or if there's a movie you want us to review, that option is available as well. Just check out our website, don'tgooutthere.com. Also, if you haven't noticed, we've recently joined the Believe Network. So there's some ads on our program now. But if you want ad-free content, go check us out on Blood Donors. The ad-free episodes will be available there. We appreciate your support. We hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back, everybody, to DGOT, the series. Really excited to review The Haunting of Hill House, Episodes 7 and 8. We hope you've been liking these first three episodes. It's been a blast for us revisiting this series, or some of us watching it for the first time. I think that's what makes this show fun, is like a lot of us haven't seen this stuff, or we're revisiting it from years ago, and I've had a blast. Go follow us on Instagram as well, DGOT_the series. We'd really appreciate that. Tonight, Brother Mike is going to be doing the scene by scene. We'll just do our quick thoughts on these two episodes. I've already pretty much told the audience and you guys how much I love this show. I like episode 7 and 8 as well. I feel like it definitely can feel like, you know, they're starting to wrap the series up, and you can tell bringing the family together. You're at the funeral. I had a great time. Some emotional moments. I love these characters, and I love this show. Dustin, you want to go ahead and give your quick thoughts, and Brian can go.
Yeah. So far every episode of our show, it's been each two episodes that we've covered have been pretty close together for me. Like the first two I liked about the same. The second two I liked about the same. The third two episodes, or episode, what was that, 5 and 6 that I liked so much? Like those I liked the most. These episodes are kind of split. I didn't like 7 as much as I liked 8. And I thought 8 was, you know, I think they're both solid. I think they're both good. But episode 8 was, man, a lot better. So I agree with you completely, though, Nico. You can definitely feel that they're like, okay, we're heading to the end. We're setting up for a grand finale here. So, and like I've told you guys, I haven't watched 9 and 10 yet. So I'm doing it just a couple days before we do this episode. So it's fresh on my mind because, you know, I can't remember shit. But I'm excited to see where it goes and how it plays out, because we've got a lot of things in motion right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat of a little bit. I really liked 8, so I'll just go ahead and get that out of the way. But 7, I liked 75% of it. Like the very ending of 7, like really finally got me back into it. But I think it was like, you know, I don't know if it was coming off of what was one of the most, or, and I know I did see my scene, but it was still, I mean, to me, it was one of the most original episodes with all of those one shots that were in part 6. And it was one of my favorite episodes in the whole entire series. It's 1 or 2 right there with me. So I had a lot of high hopes coming into part 7. And I don't know if it's just where it came in the watch through or what, but it was the first episode. And I do talk a little bit about it in the first group of scene by scene, but it's the first episode where I was tired of the bullshit and was ready to get popping. And like I said, it took 75% of the episode to get there, but it finally did get there, you know, and we're back on track. But I would say I agree with you, you know, 75% of the way.
Yeah. We're in this together.
I had add another person to that because I agree. Love episode 8. Episode 7 is okay. I think I may have liked it a little more than Brian, but I think my reasoning is I feel like episode 8 accomplishes what 7 also accomplishes, but in a shorter amount of time. You know, it's not so drawn out with a lot of fluff, in my opinion. And I just feel like 7 is the first episode, even Luke's episode in episode 4, it's the first one that has a little too much fluff for me. Like, let's get going here. And I feel like 8 is like full board, and it's a lot of dialogue for sure, but a lot happens. We start to actually see a lot of Ghost and Nell and Olivia, and there's just a lot there for episode 8 as opposed to 7, which kind of feels like Hugh's episode. You know, every kid kind of got an episode, and 7 kind of feels like it's Hugh's, you know, masterpiece or whatever. So, and I like Hugh as a character. It's not that. It just, for whatever reason, it had a little too much extra marshmallow fluff on it for my liking. That's all.
All right, guys. I'm really excited to review 7 and 8. Mike, whenever you're ready for this scene by scene, go ahead, brother.
We start in
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my bad, guys.
Today, Junior.
I may do that for real, and that's going to come back to bite me in the ass, but that's okay. We start with Hugh in the interrogation room at the police station. He says he has to get back to his kids, but the officer says they're okay. I've checked on them. He can leave whenever he wants, but it wouldn't look good. The officer says he wants to go over a few more things he said about the house. He tells them it's a mess and says he wants to fix things before it spreads. We cut to present-ish day Hugh talking to himself in a mirror as he's getting dressed for Nell's funeral. Where it's Shirley's, and her kid asks Hugh how come she's never met him. Shirley is on the phone, and the flower people have fucked her over. Hugh is trying to convince Shirley about her husband, but she tells him to go lecture Theo. We're back in the past with Hugh, and he's walking around the house with all the damage in the hallway. Steve said the wall feels squishy, and Hugh tells this guy to mark it. Hugh says no way all this is from the storm and that he can fix it. They find out the water damage is deeper in the house. He sends Steve upstairs because black mold is dangerous to breathe in. Hugh looks at the Polaroid he took, and it looks like there's a little bit of a figure there. We're back at the day of Nell's funeral, and now Hugh and Theo are talking. Theo tells him she fucked up, big time, that Shirley will never talk to her again. She tells Hugh that she should have tried harder with him and that she's sorry. But people fuck up, and you don't really get that until you fuck up. He's talking to Ghost Olivia again. She tells him she didn't expect that, and he says, well, you got to start somewhere.
Kind of like I hinted at the start, I mean, the whole first part of this episode, I honestly wanted to fast forward through, you know, or you know, hit that 10-second little shortcut there. And I know that sounds like I thought the episode was shit, and that's not true. I just, like I said, I wanted to see it progress and get into the shit finally. You know, we've seen 6 episodes. We've seen bits and pieces of that final night, and I'm just ready. I'm just ready right there, if that makes sense. I felt like the police scene drug on a lot to me, especially, you know, just because, I mean, there was no suspense on our end to me anyway. I mean, we knew that what happened to Olivia was supernatural. We aren't afraid of any threat with the police. So that's what I mean with me just kind of wanted to push this thing along. We've pretty much guessed that old Hugh was talking to Olivia this whole time, but it's nice to finally see what he's seeing. I think Flanagan did a great job with that reveal as well. I mean, the one shot where he pans around the room some while Hugh is talking with Shirley, and then we slowly pan over to where we've seen nothing before just a second ago, and Olivia is now there. I thought that was a great shot. And it's weird because I guess I've gotten enough about the past to kind of piece it together enough. When the show first started, I don't know if you remember me saying, I was more interested in the flashbacks. And now I can say that I'm more interested in the older crew, because I want to see where they go from here and forward and how that whole thing plays out. So that was a nice, interesting little parallel, a little switch for me. And the last thing I'll say is I didn't really notice until we started breaking this show down and we started talking about every sibling really having an episode. This one is pretty much Hughes. And I've never noticed that before. Like, while we said Shirley was the fixer of the family during her episode, we really kind of see here where Hugh was the original fixer. And that's definitely something that I just put together on this watch through, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very obvious that Hugh's eye color is different in this opening interrogation. And per IMDb, Henry Thomas, young Hugh Crane, wore blue contact lenses through the entire season. The elder Hugh Crane, played by Timothy Hutton, has gray eyes. Hugh enters Hill House, a wide-eyed house flipper who never faced a problem he couldn't fix. As time passed, Thomas' bright blue eyes turned to Hutton's steely gray as the elder Crane has pulled himself away from his children and the events that haunt him to this day. You could tell, like, his eyes were really, you could, like, see the blue in this interrogation scene. I thought it was an interesting breakfast, Grandpa Hugh being asked by Allie why they've never met, and Kevin getting bossed around by Shirley after the incident with Theo in the closet. And, whew, you can feel the anger from Shirley, telling her dad business isn't open yet and to go lecture Theo instead. Elizabeth Reitzer, she got quite the attitude. Out of all the get-rich-quick schemes out there, house flipping is one I have zero interest in. Hugh, you should have gotten out of this place a long time ago, my brother. Rats, they seem like a good reason for the pipes bursting until you see the horrific image in the photo. And I stressed again, man, get out of this house, Hugh. Kate Siegel, I thought she had some great emotional acting opening up to her father. I appreciated that moment a lot, and I really liked that she acknowledged that dad did his best when they were kids. This is the last thing I got, Dustin, but I love how this set ends with Olivia reappearing, but her face is distorted. It's a nice start of the family healing, perhaps.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Brian, about the police scene. It's a very typical interrogation scene. He seems like he's the buddy, but he's trying to lure Hugh into saying something incriminating. You can just leave whenever you want. It just wouldn't look good. It's like we've seen it so many times in TV and movies throughout the years that it didn't do anything for me, especially since nothing came of it. Like you said, we already know that it was supernatural, so I think that they should have cranked up the cops' intensity a little bit. Make it so that there's no way that, what are you talking about, supernatural? Like, this doesn't look good for you. Like, it just wasn't, it didn't serve a purpose to me because of how they did it. Then we go to present day Hugh having another conversation with his imaginary friend there. And it's rough learning that he doesn't know his grandchildren. Like, when the one grandkid said, how come I've never met you? It's like, damn, okay. Like, he really has been absent for this long. Cheryl, you mentioned it, Nico. Cheryl is in a mood, son. I'd be steering clear of her. Hell no. That was feisty. And then it was very cool seeing Olivia and getting that confirmation that she's who Hugh has been talking to all along. Like you said, Brian, we assumed it. We figured that's what it was. But, like, actually seeing her is a nice little touch to let us know that he's not insane, that he too sees the ghosts, or, you know, he's got Olivia with him at all times, it seems like. So it's an okay open. Could have been better, but not terrible.
We cut back to the past, and Olivia asks where the damage is, in a seamless transition, by the way. I loved it. Hugh says they could lose their insurance, and Olivia says the blueprints are just a bunch of scribbles. Laying some groundwork there. Hugh tells the inspector that he keeps hearing rats and says Steve can help him with the fumigation. We cut back to the day of Nell's funeral, and Hugh is talking with Ghost Olivia again. She tells him that they were solid, and Hugh says that the last few days don't count. Hugh is talking to Luke now. He says he's proud of him for his 90 days. Ghost Olivia tells him that Luke doesn't want to make today about him. Luke tells Theo to take a shot of beer with tomato juice. He tells her it's the best hangover cure. It's heroin by a mile, which I can't really attest to that, but it may be. It may be. It's probably the best way to forget that you're hungover, I suppose. Janet shows up, and Luke and Steve are happy to see her. She tells Hugh that she's sorry that we're all here. Cut back to the past, and Hugh tells Olivia that the inspector thinks the water damage is coming all from that red room. Back to Nell's funeral, as Shirley is giving a monologue and says if anyone wants to say a few words. Luke gets up and gives a touching speech about his relationship with Nell. He recalls the last time they saw each other and says, even though he was born 90 seconds before her, that Nell was always his big sister. That line got my ass. Back to the past, Hugh and Horace are trying to find the source of the water damage. Horace tells Hugh that maybe Olivia could use a break from the house. Hugh tells him that's not his place. Horace is telling Hugh about his history with the house, that his mom never liked it, and tells a story about his mom dying. He mentions that him and Claire got married on the grounds. He tells him the story about how their daughter was a stillborn and how Claire was back to work a month later, even though she was having awful headaches and nightmares. Horace says that he thought she was losing her damn mind and that Claire was scratching herself. He says he heard his little girl's first cry in that house. He was certain. He says he never spends time here after dark, and even though it's not his place, it worked for them. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, so I have a bone to pick with a few things here, and I'm going to need some feedback here. So seeing Aunt Janice here, I can't remember, like, we never have seen the kids at her house, like, at all, do we? At all? So that's just kind of discussed. And that brings me into something else. I don't think this is a spoiler, and I'm pretty sure that we don't ever find out at all. So did Hugh go to jail for all of those years for Olivia's murder? I mean, it's weird to me that it's never talked about, right? Like, it all seems like a big deal, kind of this big chunk of time that, you know, the kids lived with Janice, and what happened to Hugh? Like, what? It's just kind of glossed over for me. Did I miss something?
I'm just assuming they got took from him.
That's what or that he felt like
they'd be better. They didn't say it.
Yeah, no, they never mentioned it before.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Anyway, for real, like, just props to Oliver Jackson Cohen for that eulogy Luke gives at Nell's funeral. Mike, you said it got you. Like, he killed it. And I think I loved that for Luke, like, finally getting some redemption in this series. I mean, he's got a little bit, but I mean, you've gotten the wrong idea about Luke, and I'm glad that he got his redemption arc here a little bit. A few episodes ago, like I said, you know, he was my least interesting character, and his episode was probably the lowest grade scale for me if I had to rank them. But all of that was so necessary to give us this Luke, and I'm very happy that we got here to this point. I am glad we finally get some history on the Dudleys here with Hugh and Mr. Dudley talking. You know, after everything with the death and the family drama, the speech we get from Robert Longstreet's Horace about his mother and the house was gripping enough with that delivery that it started making the house scary again for me, if that makes sense. I mean, something I'd been missing a little bit throughout these last couple of episodes. And I have to admit, I did laugh some whenever he was talking about Claire being a strong, towering woman. Like, that wasn't funny by itself, but it made me think of Deuce Bigelow's "That's a huge bitch." And it made me fucking laugh. So
one of my favorite fucking lines from any film. I say it all the time. That's a huge bitch.
Yeah, but it was cool to see the Dudley's connection finally explained. You know, admittedly, something I won't spoil it, but I do feel a little bit mixed on that in the final episode, and I'll get to that. Go ahead.
Hold on really quick. What do you mean the Dudley's connection? Buddy, the Dudleys are from Dudleyville. Bubba Ray, Devon, Spike, Big Dick Dudley, Dances with Dudley. Joe Sign Berger's in there somewhere. Sign Guy Dudley. Come on, pal. Anyway, Dudley, sorry, Dudley. My bad.
EC Wrong podcast. Wrong podcast. All right, I thought Hugh and Olivia, I think they make a great team looking at the blueprints. They both do a great job as a couple assessing the damage and making a plan. Women, they can be cold-blooded, my goodness. Steve's wife walks right past him to sit down for Nellie's service. That's brutal to see, but we do find out later it's very justified why she's mad at Steve. I like that Ghost Olivia continues to console Hugh with the children and how to handle their needs and feelings. I don't know about y'all, but I got a big chuckle out of the awkward wave Luke and Hugh gave Trish after the awkward encounter with Theo. That made me laugh. Elizabeth Reeser with more good emotional acting, reading that poem of her being away and not dead about Nellie. I thought she was great. And like you mentioned, Brian, Oliver Jackson Cohen with an emotional moment talking about Nellie dropping him off at rehab. You go in there and bring my brother back. And like you mentioned, Mike, it got me too. Powerful stuff. And it's beautiful seeing Olivia saying, "That's my girl," in the audience. Robert Longstreet, we've seen him in Halloween Kills and Dr. Sleep. I think he does such a good job describing his experiences at Hill House. It's heartbreaking hearing about their stillborn child. As good as this bit of dialogue is for Mr. Dudley, you can definitely tell he's holding back a little bit of info about Hill House still, though. That's all I got, Dustin. Go ahead.
There's one room we don't have a key. Man, if you don't Jack Torrance that door, get the hell in there. Like, that annoys me, honestly. We're 7 episodes in, you still ain't got the damn door open? Okay. When Olivia says, "Don't say that," it made me think, if she can read his mind as a ghost, why doesn't he just communicate with her silently? Like, it would really go a long way in making him look less insane to his kids and everyone around him. Muttering to a ghost out loud does him no favors. Theo is just cold-blooded. Old girl is wanting to be supportive, and she was ruthless. I laughed. Like, she shows up at the funeral there just wanting to be nice. And she's, "The fuck are you doing here?" That was funny to me. I liked it. great story from Mr. Dudley. Great way to further plant the seeds that the house itself is evil. It's a good set of scenes. Just honestly kind of hard for me to take notes on because it was very dialogue heavy.
Also, Nico, you mentioned Robert Longstreet. He's great in Midnight Mass. So if you have, I know you haven't seen that yet, but he's fucking phenomenal in that show. Okay, anyway. We're back at the day of Nell's funeral. Shirley won't go in either limo because of her husband and Theo. She catches a ride with her dad and ghosts Olivia, who was in the car. Hugh is trying to tell her that they all they have is each other, and Shirley tells him to stay the fuck out of their business. Ghost Olivia was trying to warn him the whole time. We're back in the past, and Hugh and Steve are trying to fumigate the house. Hugh cuts his hand on an unplugged fan, and then he tells Steve to go upstairs and play. We see Hugh trying to get the red room door open, but he's not able to. Back to Nell's funeral, and all the family is throwing rocks in the grave. Luke sees his mom and Nell, and he freaks out in front of everyone. Steve talks him through it and tells him that he didn't see them and to get himself under control. Back in the past, we cut to Olivia having a screwdriver to Hugh's throat, and they are both confused as to what's going on with her. Hugh shows Olivia that she drew these master blueprints in the same shape over and over again. She doesn't believe him at first and says that's insane. Hugh tells her that she should take a break. Olivia says they underestimated the migraines and that she will sort it all out. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, so something I think is really cool, and I don't think it's spoiling it to say this, but the scene between Hugh and Shirley in the car, where Hugh is trying to talk to her and give her advice, and Ghost Olivia's in the back telling him not to, and he basically falls flat on his face. What's really cool about that scene is how it sets up and mirrors the other one that we get with Steve coming up here in episode 9, where he finally just says, listen, fuckers, you're going to listen to me. And he finally has that breakthrough and succeeds. And I really love that writing. And I think that that makes the upcoming scene mean that much more. So sorry if I spoiled that for episode 9. But okay, something I didn't care for, though, was the burial scene. I felt like it was an emotional scene at all, and it should have been. And I felt like the jump scare with dead Olivia and Luke was just cheap. Like, I didn't think it was needed. It's one of the few things, a few scenes, I guess, in the whole show that I didn't really care for personally, I'll admit. But then we see Olivia on Hugh with the screwdriver scene that we've seen before, but from a different, you know, lens per se. Bro, I mean, my guy has black mold in his house, hands all fucked up, can't get in the fucking red door, and his wife is going bonkers trying to kill him with a screwdriver, and my guy is taking a lot of L's here lately. I'll just go with that. There's no wonder he gets older and no longer looks like Henry Thomas. Now, I give the John Krasinski office look at the camera right there, you know, with the casting switch. Anyway, never mind. This is the last set of scenes, though, where I'm going like, come on. Then the show pulls out its big dick, puts it on the table for the rest of this episode, and next episode ends balls to the wall moving forward. Love it.
All right, so I don't have a lot, but I thought Shirley, she's petty as hell, man. Slamming the door in Kevin's face and refusing a ride with Steve because Theo's in the limo. I guess we all got to get a little petty Kruger in life sometimes. Nice transition from the car. Stuck your hand right in the fan to young Hugh's injury with the fan with Steve. I thought that was a really good transition. And I thought this was funny. I like male anger. You can't get the damn door open, so you punch it with your wounded hand and reopen the wound. I speak for most of my fellow men. We'd all do the same. I can't tell you how many walls and doors I punch when FSU gives up a long touchdown or loses to Miami 6 years in a row when I'm in middle school and high school. But anywho, strong scene between the brothers. You know, I hear where you're coming from, Brian, but I thought this was an emotional scene with the brothers. Steve gives some cold, hard truth to Luke. It's got to hurt to say, I don't want to bury you too. If I'm Hugh, me and Olivia got to do something drastic. Waking up to a screwdriver to the neck isn't cool at all. I'd have shit myself. Shout out to my fellow co-host that I won't name. Olivia looks beat down and exhausted. Great job by Carla Gugino in this exchange with you. And that's all I got.
That's good stuff. So gnarly looking gnash on the hand from the fan. I knew it was coming and it still made me cringe. Like that had to hurt like hell. Definitely didn't like that. And the effects look great on it, I thought. Then he tries to get the red door open. But I mean, did he? I would never let a door whoop me like that. That shit would be down quicker than you can blink. Tense moment.
Dustin's a door chopper from way back.
That's damn right, pal.
When bent neck Nell shows up and Olivia tries to pull Luke into the grave, but not near as tense as Olivia holding a screwdriver to Hugh's throat in his sleep while straddling him. That's my kind of crazy, pal. If I woke up like that in the middle of the night, I wouldn't be mad at it. Then when he pointed out that she had drawn the same thing over and over again, I immediately thought of Jack in The Shining. like how he kept typing the same thing on the typewriter. This house is a lot like the Overlook. The action really picks up here. It's a better set of scenes, but I realize this episode is much slower than the last two. Like, I think right around here is when I realized it. And although it's not bad, it's just got a lot to make up for in the finish for me because the last two episodes set the bar so high.
Back to Nell's funeral, and everyone was getting food and drink. Hugh asks Luke how he is and says he overheard him and Steve at the grave. Hugh tells him he sees Olivia every day, and his therapist told him that it's normal. Luke says big boys know the difference between real and imaginary. Hugh says he's proud of him, and Luke says, glad you're here, Dad. Cut back to the past, and we see Hugh spraying the wall for rats and then breaking into a brick wall. He gets the hole open and sees a decayed dead body. He brings the police in, and they uncover a cold case that has been cold for a long time. And he also has the last name of Hill. The officer said he bricked himself in there and tried to scratch his way out. The officer tries to tell him to have a good night, which is crazy. He asks him if this place is haunted, and Hugh says his kids think so. Back to the funeral day, Hugh and Steve are chatting about heading out. Ghost Olivia is behind him and tries to tell him what to say. Hugh just tells him to fly safe. Theo busts in and asks Shirley if she had her car towed. Hugh says he saw Luke, and they all assume the worst. Steve said he probably already has a needle in his arm. Theo and Hugh see a dead Nell around the corner. Shirley comes back in and is kind of insensitive since Theo is clearly freaking out. Back in the past, and the officer is interrogating Hugh again. He's trying to fill in the 3 hours that Hugh waited to call the police. The officer asks what he saw when he ran up to the red room. We cut to Hugh running into the red room because the door is finally fucking open.
Yeah. At the start of this, I'll just start there, where Hugh breaks through the wall. At around 49 minutes and 45 seconds, I saw one of those hidden ghosts finally behind the stairs by the light and the fan, the one with white hair. Sorry, I was proud of myself there. Although, honestly, we're getting to the point in the series where they're just fucking ghosts all over the place, not really hidden much anymore at this point to find out, but let me cook. Let me live my damn life. I love that we're finally getting groups of people, in this case, Theo and Hugh, seeing the ghosts. And listen, I've done nothing but sing Kate Siegel's praises, so I can also do the opposite a little bit. The scream where she's in Hugh's arms after she sees Ghost Olivia crawling. Go watch that again. It's about 56 minutes flat. Come on. Like it just looked like she kind of phoned that one in. That's all. I'll just say that. She phoned that one in a little bit, in my opinion. But amazing effects, though, on zombie Olivia there. It honestly didn't even look like her, if I'm being honest. It just looked like some crazy bugging zombie ghost demon thing, but it was scary as hell looking. I didn't really even pick up that was Olivia until, you know, later, or that she put it together. I don't remember, but I love the ending with us finally getting the red room door open, and it seems like we are finally there and going to find out what the hell happened. And I can't wait for the next episode at this point. So it's just so damn bittersweet that Olivia was so close to leaving and going to Janet's and getting away for a few days, but just stayed that just extra touch too long. By the way, that's how you get kids. You stay just a little extra touch too long in there. Anyway, great ending. Great last group of scenes to probably my least favorite episode. Maybe, I don't know, maybe close. Like I said, maybe the last set of scenes boosted over Luke's. I don't know, honestly, but I mean, it doesn't mean it's bad.
Shout out Brian, the dad. This is a great callback. Luke saying big boys know the difference between real and imaginary. That line stood with Luke for over two decades. I thought that was really good of him. If I'm Hugh, I'm freaking the hell out finding a corpse in the walls of my home. I'd be doing everything imaginable to get out of this home purchase. Like, come on, I bought a house with this body in there. Get me, I want out. Like, come on, that's got to be the perfect excuse to get out of this house flipping thing. Damn it, Hugh. Olivia gave you some incredible things to say to Steve, and you froze up. The moment was too big, and you pissed down your leg. Not sure how my co-hosts feel, but I love that Olivia continues to be there for Hugh. You can tell they truly love each other and their kids. Like you mentioned, I thought it was a creepy scene, seeing the ghost crawling towards Hugh and Theo. I really like that. And this is the last thing I got. I didn't have a lot of notes. I like how the episode ends with the cop knowing Hugh's on some bullshit, but we see Hugh going into the red room. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, finding a body behind the wall, that would be jarring, but finding it because you heard scratching and then hearing they try to scratch his way up before he died, along with the other weird stuff that's been happening in this house, I'd be out of here, man. Nope, I'm done. I'm done. If I wasn't gone already, I'm out. And then, man, it's hearing Cheryl lost her wallet and then Theo's car is gone. Man, not Luke. That's rough. I, just like his siblings, immediately went to, he's probably got a needle in his arm already. So I thought that was it's well done. Like it's, they do a great job at not revealing too much, but making you think the worst there. Tense moment when Theo and Hugh see the footprints and then see the smashed model of the Forever Home, and then zombie Olivia crawls out. It's a tough day for Big Shirley. Her shit's getting wrecked. She's just, it seems like the whole world's against her here. And I got to tell you, young Hugh is not doing a great job of seeming innocent here. He's not doing himself any favors. I thought it was a solid finish to the episode, but overall it was much slower throughout and not as exciting as the last two episodes. So the strong finish did good job of building up episode 8, but episode 7 was okay.
All right, episode 8,
Witness Marks.
Here we go. Steve and Lee are meeting with the in vitro doctor and trying to plan a pregnancy. We cut back to Shirley trying to get Steve to pay attention as they figure out what happened with Luke in the car. Theo said suicides can cluster in families, and Steve sets out to look for Luke. Theo says we're really not going to tell him what we saw, and then we see Hugh pop in Steve's car and says, "I just want to help." And then we have another seamless transition as a flashback, as Steve is now saying the exact same thing to Hugh. Hugh tells him he could use his help with him watching after his brother and sisters while his mom is gone. Steve sees his mom talking to, well, nothing, and then he sees an orb thing light up in his room. We cut back to Steve's car, and Hugh is asking him about his marriage. Steve doesn't want to talk about that, and Hugh is telling him, about his and Olivia's marriage. He reveals that they were separated at one point as well, but that they worked it out. He says you're on the same team, even in a fight. They weren't perfect, but they were always kind. He tells Steve that he hopes he fixes his marriage. We cut back to Kevin and Shirley, and he's taking the kids trick-or-treating. He asks Shirley if they can talk when he gets back, and Shirley asks how, because he'll be at the hotel. She tells him to shut off the lights because she can't handle trick-or-treaters tonight. He tells her he loves her, and she tells him to have fun. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, so a question. At the start of this, when Steve is at the fertility doctor with his wife, and he zones out and sees that woman through the glass, who is that supposed to be? I couldn't tell if that was Nell or Olivia, because at this point, we don't know what's going on with them. And he says he has something to tell her then. So I thought, oh, okay, well, he's had an affair with this chick, whoever it is behind his glass. Obviously, that wasn't the case. So who the fuck was that? If it was Nell or Olivia, like, why was the ghost or Nell or Olivia irrelevant to him feeling guilty about the secret? I don't know. I did not comprehend that, I guess.
I thought it was one of them, and I don't think that it was necessarily relevant to what's going on inside the room. I took it as he's been a ghost denier this whole time, but I think that was for us to remind us that he too sees them. That's just how I took it. But then again, I haven't seen 9 and 10, so I don't know if there's a payoff.
Well, it was just the way that he like saw her and was like, oh, okay, well, I've got to tell her the truth. It was almost seemed to me like it was relevant to what he was trying to, but yeah, you know, you may be right. I don't know. It still doesn't make any sense. I did laugh at the line when Steve said, maybe it's your kids that broke the model. And Shirley says, yeah, maybe it's my kids or the guy who just stole my credit card in the car. Like, Shirley can be a bitch, but that's me right there. Like, that's how I would respond. That cracked me up. We get to also see all the people working in the house and drawing attention to the guy working on the clock, which is so awesome upon a rewatch, because at this point, we don't know the guy isn't there yet. And so I love that. But again, like, I'm more interested in what's going on with the present. And a lot of those flashbacks that we've already seen from different points of view. So I will say with this episode, I appreciate the fact that we don't spend much time on those flashbacks. I love that. But like I said last episode, I love the fact that Hugh is able to break through with Steve where he failed last episode with Shirley. And the story of he and his wife breaking up, it reminded me a lot of talks with my son. Like, he's at the age where you can have those conversations with him. And it really does mean a lot to your kids, obviously, no matter the age here, where they feel like they aren't alone in the journey. And, you know, your life experiences and stories can be useful. So that conversation really did hit home. And I love that you didn't hear it yet with Steve. But you can see it with Michael Huseman's facial acting that he is getting through without the words. And that was a deep moment to me. I liked it.
I laughed. This is such a serious conversation going on about Steve and Lee getting pregnant. And she's surprised he rubbed one out. Come on, Lee. What you expect him to go 2 weeks without busting a nut? Come on, be serious. Scary fact, though. Yeah, this is a scary fact. I didn't know that twin suicide rate goes up if their twin commits suicide. I thought that was really interesting and it was a really scary fact. Another great flashback transition. Dad wants to help Steve find Luke, into Steve asking his dad as a kid to help with the mold. I thought that was great. seeing young Steve playing video games, sitting in a beanbag chair, man, that takes me back to some good days as a kid, man, just living my best life. And I know I probably sound like a broken record here complimenting all these family moments, but I really like this scene with Hugh and Steve. Steve shows his anger, but Dad eases the situation, talking about he and Steve's mom's separation. I thought that was a beautiful father-son scene, and he handled it perfectly. I'm ending my thoughts here with, goddamn, Shirley is cold-blooded, and she continues to be. I don't have a lot of notes this episode because it was such a short episode.
Yeah. I will say, pretty uncouth conversation to start this episode. Just absolute potty talk. You know, we don't need to hear about sperm and eggs and whatnot. That's no place.
We would never do that. There's
no place for
that.
But, you know, he's talking with the implied jack off. I was like, damn, is this an A24 episode? But anyway, Hugh telling Steve that Olivia called herself a creature of the clouds and he was a creature of the earth. Yeah, she was a crystal chick. And in my experience, it's fire, but they're insane. That screwdriver scene from the last episode makes a lot more sense to me now. Cheryl refusing to tell Kevin she loves him. She is one difficult woman. Sheesh. Then again, aren't they all? He's like, I love you. She's like, bye. That was funny. Not much to take notes on, like you said, Nico. It's very dialogue heavy, and this is a short episode, but I'm invested.
Shirley is now tying one on as the doorbell rings a few times. She finally gets up to check, and no one is there. We're back in Steve's car as he tells Hugh that it was Janet who raised him. Hugh says everything he did was to protect the kids. Steve tells him he read the police report and then goes over the details. He blames Hugh for not protecting his mom and says that he misses his mom. Hugh says that he misses her too. We're back to Miss Dudley telling Kid Steve about Poppy Hill and what happened to her after finding a picture. She tells him that she was insane. She tells him that if Steve wants this painting of the dresser to be a surprise, to not do it in his room. We're back to Shirley hearing, I want you to know my phone corrected Knox to Nix. So if Shirley was hearing the Knicks, that would have been something. It's not bad basketball. I can't even make a bad Knicks joke anymore, man. It sucks. Anyway, we're back to Shirley hearing the knocks on the door. And once again, there's no one there when she checks. Shirley sees the guy she had an affair with in the corner and hears more knocks. She yells, what the fuck do you want? And Theo walks up and is trying to apologize. She's trying to explain what happened last night, but Shirley isn't having it. Theo tells her she's living in her guest house to protect her. And then Shirley punches Theo in the fucking titty. Theo asks, did you just punch me in the boob? She says, yeah, you kiss my husband, that's what you get. They both hear knocks at the door and all around the house. They open the door, but no one is there. Shirley's phone rings, and then they look at each other. They call Steve and tell him that they got a hit on her card at the gas station. Theo tells her to tell them what happened in the house. Shirley says she thinks Luke is going to Hill House. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I don't have a lot on this set of scenes, but this scene with Shirley and Theo at the house and the ghosts, like, this is hard to explain. At first, you think it's going to be the typical, okay, she's going to experience this, it's going to stop, nobody else is going to experience it either, and we'll move on. But what I love so much about it is, you know, Theo got there and they both experienced. Like, there's no denying it anymore. They're adults experiencing this shit together now. And as an audience member watching this, like, it tells me, okay, well, this shit is in fact progressing and gets me more interested. You know, I almost moved to the closer to the TV and been like, oh shit, okay, let's go. And Kate Siegel and Elizabeth Reese's blow up at each other before the shit really pops off, I thought was fantastic. Like, there was no phoning it in on Siegel's part on that one. Like, they were both really great. The rest of the set of scenes is just dialogue, really. And, you know, it's not boring dialogue. You know, it's discovery, the vasectomy and whatnot. But I mean, you can see it boiling up and Steve's attitude with his dad. And, you know, I really love what comes next.
Yeah, I got a nitpick to start off with Shirley. If you had a bucket of candy and didn't want doorbell rings, why not just sit the candy out from the get-go? Good night. Damn, man, I felt that, Steve. I miss my mom. I really can't blame him for having so much animosity towards his dad. That was a really good moment. Whew. I like the look that Miss Dudley gives Steve when he says he got the desk from the game room upstairs. Shirley, when she's mad, is like a sprained ankle, nothing to play with. Boom, I got my line in for the show. Let's fucking go. Another great moment between Shirley and Theo arguing with each other, but I literally laughed out loud when she punches Theo in the boob, and she's like, did you just punch me in the boob? I thought that was hilarious. And this is the last thing I got, Dustin, because like we mentioned, it's a dialogue-heavy short episode. This is another instance with Theo where the person doesn't tell the others what they just encountered with her. I thought that was pretty interesting. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Ghost playing Ding Dong Ditch with Sherl is crazy, but we see that mysterious guy from a couple episodes again, and I'm excited to learn who he is finally. Maybe, hopefully. You guys are...
I accidentally spoiled it in the scene by scene. I'm sorry. Hey.
Oh, I wasn't even
listening.
Cool.
That's good. Okay, good.
Yeah. I zoned out. Okay, my bad. Theo and Big Shirley's argument was intense and then perfectly broken up by a boo punch. I also laughed. Also, nice hearing that Kevin pushed Theo away and didn't kiss her. Like most men, he's wholesome and he doesn't cheat. So it's good to know he's one of us. Yeah, I don't have much either. This is a much better set of scenes, though. To quote Jim Ross, business is picking up.
My God. All right, this is the last set of scenes here. And thank God, because words are kicking my ass tonight. Steve says, of course, he is going to the house and that Luke always wanted to do whatever Nell did. Steve says he's never having kids because he doesn't want to pass on this family sickness. Then he reveals he got a vasectomy right after college and that he didn't tell his wife. He says she wanted kids and that he knew that. He says he couldn't tell her he thought his genes were rotten and that he was saving her from the crazy cranes. Back to the past, and Olivia says what Steve did was beautiful and that he knew it would cheer her up. He says he knows that she's going on a vacation, and she says, and that is perfect. She then sees something in the mirror and breaks it right in front of him. Cut back to present Tish time, and Steve and Hugh are filling up gas. Hugh tells Steve to shut the hell up and listen to him. He says that if Luke tries to burn the house down, that it will fight back. He tells Steve that he's the last person that should ever step foot in that house because of what he wrote in his book. Hugh tells Steve about what he actually saw when his mom broke the mirror. He explains the story of the witness marks and the clock that was in the Hill House. He says Steve doesn't know how to read the signs that are there. He reveals to Steve that there was no treehouse. Steve tells him that Luke was there all the time. What are you talking about? And Hugh adamantly says, Steve, there was no treehouse. They were flipping that house and he wouldn't have had the time to build them one. He says Steve has to take this all in right now because the house is the most dangerous place they can be. We cut to Shirley and Theo in the car, and Theo is explaining what happened with her and Kevin. Shirley doesn't believe her and tells her she doesn't need her excuses, even though she just fucked and asked Theo to explain herself. We get a great jump scare with dead Nell in the car after Theo reveals that she touched Nell, and that when she touched Nell, she felt absolutely nothing. Theo is giving a monologue about how she felt Nell and she feel nothing, and wonders if that's what Nell and her mom felt when they died. She explains what happened in the closet and how she did it to feel something, and that the shame of being caught like that was better than feeling nothing at all. We cut to Luke pulling up to Hill House with his cans of gas, and a red light glows inside. We see Luke pouring gas all over the house and counting to himself. He then tries to set the house on fire with a lighter, but it dulls out. Then he sees his mom at the top of the stairs as something grabs him from behind, and the scene cuts to black. God damn, I'm done.
All right, so yeah, just a fantastic ending here, I think. And the start of this, I think, is perfect. Timothy Hutton as Hugh gets his chance to shine, basically telling Steve, you think you know what you saw? You don't know shit. Shut the fuck up and listen, because I'm about to tell you what you know. And that's just such a huge breakthrough and such a big moment that I didn't realize how relieving that would be to get to finally see that on screen. And goddamn, that fucking Nell jump scare with Cheryl and Theo. Holy shit, best of the entire show. But Jesus Christ, you're so damn entranced with Theo's telling and Kate Siegel performance with her crying a little bit. And then bam. And apparently Victoria Pendretti was told by Mike Flanagan to pop her head out between the car seat at least 20 seconds earlier than what was scripted. So she did, and Elizabeth Reeser and Katie Siegel were not prepared. So the horrified reactions are genuine. And you know, knowing that, I went back to that scene, and right at 34 minutes and 56 seconds, I went frame by frame, and my God, that's funny as shit, knowing that, and then seeing their reactions and slow motion. I recommend you all do that as well, because in real time, that's pretty quick. But something that did bother me is like, okay, so they scream, jump out of the car, and then Theo goes into the story with Shirley's husband again. Like, is it Kevin? And then they have a moment and get back in the car. And I'm like, is nobody going to talk about both of them fucking seeing a ghost in the car together? Like, you know, normal humans would. That was definitely a nitpick there for me, but love the rest of the episode. I'm ready for the next one.
Steve Crane says he doesn't want to have kids because of the family curse. Man, must think he's a Von Erich or something. Holy shit, Steve. If you get a vasectomy, you have to tell your potential wife, right? I can't blame Lee at all for wanting to separate with this man. That's a, I mean, you gotta be upfront about that. This is such a nice gesture of Steve making this mirror desk for his mother with all the kids' pictures. Oh, well, never mind then. Way to punch the mirror, Olivia. I can't imagine what Steve is thinking seeing this reaction out of her. This is some good shit going on with Steve and Hugh. There was no man working on the clock. There was no treehouse. Steve is the last person to enter the house, or he should be the last person to enter the house. He's pissed off the house with his book. I was like, damn, all right, Mr. Timothy Hutton, Joe Biden look alike. This is some good stuff. Elite jump scare here. You're invested listening to Theo and Shirley, and then Nell, Randy Orton's a screen out of nowhere screaming. I thought it was great. Kate kills the scene saying she felt nothing after touching Nell. Incredible acting telling Shirley how she couldn't feel anything anymore. But Brian's right. It kind of just, they just get back in the car and take off. But on a lighter note, I thought it was a beautiful shot of the two walking back to the car with all the fog surrounding them. I thought it looked great. Another great shot of the house with lit up windows as Luke approaches. This is a smart idea. Light this place on fire, Luke. Hell yeah, brother. Great ending to the episode with the gas not igniting and Miss Hill grabbing Luke as he sees his mother again. It's so hard to stop watching these episodes because I have such an attachment to the characters. And I'm super excited to conclude the series next week.
Steve telling Hugh that he had a vasectomy. A man's acting like a vasectomy is a castration. Ask Michael Scott, bud. You can get those reversed. Snip, snap, snip, snap. He's acting like that was the end of the road. Great scene in the car with Hugh and Steve. Him telling Steve that the clock repairman was a ghost and there was no treehouse. That's great shit. Like, that's really good storytelling because up until now, that hadn't been, you know, that had never been addressed. We're just finding this out now from stuff that was previous. I like that. Insane jump scare when Theo is trying to tell Cheryl what was really going on and dead Olivia pops up from the back seat. That was crazy. And then just an acting masterclass follows from Kate Siegel when she's begging Cheryl and pouring her heart out. I thought that was phenomenal. Just incredible acting there. Luke seeing Olivia at the house and then being grabbed from behind is a great cliffhanger to end the episode on. So I like this episode a hell of a lot more than I liked episode 7.
Yeah, I thought both episodes were good, but I can understand where y'all are coming from. Mike, did you have any final thoughts on 7 and 8 since you did scene by scene?
Yeah, man, I'm super excited for 9 and 10 so I don't have to fucking do scene by scene.
Hell yeah, brother.
I tried, guys. I did. I need to stop recommending myself. I'll stick to the other stuff I'm good at. Yeah, I actually do, really quick. Like I said at the top of the show, I think episode 8 was really good. Partially, you know, I know we talked about it was dialogue heavy, but a lot of that dialogue is leading somewhere. Whereas I feel like the dialogue in 7, I kind of feel like I don't need all of that stuff. Like, I don't need the exposition that episode 7 gave. Like, I know the dead body in the house is important and them kind of, you know, looking for rats and water damage and all that stuff's important, but I feel like you could have trimmed all that up into one scene. I feel all that could have been accomplished in one scene. I feel like maybe that was the fluff I'm referring to in episode 7. But yeah, man, excited as hell, and I'll be way better off the cuff. So let's do it.
No, I understand where you guys have come from. I really like 7 and 8 just because I like to see Hugh interacting with his kids and like trying to have these moments and trying to heal their relationship. I really like it, but I completely understand where you guys are coming from. Let's shout out our blood donors. We'll end this episode. We really appreciate y'all. It takes a big burden off us to make these two different podcasts. We'll shout out Anita Russell, final girl donor. We'll be doing Pitch Black up next, actually. And we also got a new final girl donor, Christina Tower. The Mist is her pick. Not seen that movie. Looking forward to it. Camper Level Reoccurring, Clayton J, Nina, Michelle Mirza, the Horror Movie Crew Podcast, Alex Seligson, and Michael Evans. Camp Counselor Reoccurring, Edwin Hernandez Gunn, Joe Swinford, Shan, Adrian Aiello, Karen, Brian Samick, Andrew Ferguson, Matt Strickland, Brooke Maley, Thorne David Phillips, Heather Superdoc, and Jennifer Davis from the Too Close to Home Pod. If you like true crime, go check our show out. We really appreciate y'all's support. It means a lot to us. We hope y'all have been enjoying DGOT, the series. I'm really looking forward to concluding The Haunting of Hill House next week. It's some emotional episodes that ties everything together. I'm super excited. Y'all got any final thoughts before we get out of here, guys?
Nope.
All right. We appreciate y'all listening. We'll be back next week. Just want to remind everybody.